of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. But not only that, we as believers, we have another coming that we're looking forward to. Isn't that true? We anticipate that one day the Lord will come again. And I believe, as marvelous as that coming was, that this one is going to be greater. Because this is going to have the greater change. See, the first time he comes as the babe. He comes as the babe in the manger. This time he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, I don't know if you've looked around and noticed, but this world is getting bad. Have you noticed that? I mean, crummy stuff happening, people being murdered, people being abused. We see the governments of the world, they're not moving toward God. They're moving away from God. Even ours is moving away from God. Where we used to be recognized as a Christian nation, no longer can we say that we are a Christian nation. We're a nation that has Christians in it, but we're no longer, by and large, the gospel is not in favor right now. And I don't think it will be again. And that is part of what the Bible talks about in the prophecies before the coming of the Lord, the falling away that's going to take place. And so our hope, our anticipation, and I have found myself saying several times in my heart, Lord, would you hurry up and come? It's just not a great place to live anymore. What we're seeing so many people that are being abused and hurt, and would you come back? And I know why he hasn't, because there are so many that don't know him. And there's a grace on us that we can come to know the Messiah. But the day will come when the Messiah will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, that's our hope. And as we enter into the Christmas season, not only do we remember the first coming, but we also have hope of the second coming. Today's candle is called the Bethlehem candle, or the candle of preparation. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to be reading, and I want to start reading, and then we're going to show you a quick video. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 2. Now, the first candle that we looked at, we saw the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. These do not come in order of events. Today's has to do with the Bethlehem star after the birth of the Messiah. So we're reading today in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." And it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young Christ was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great with joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's watch this video.
Are they here?
As your advisor, I feel compelled to communicate my hesitation about this meeting. Do you even know these men?
We do not.
So why even take a meeting with them? They are stargazers. They are Gentiles.
These men have valuable information. If we play our cards right, they will help us infinitely more than we can help ourselves. Send them in.
Gentlemen, greetings. Welcome. Welcome. My staff tells me you've come a long way.
This is true. We've come from the east.
Is that right? And I trust your journeys have not been too difficult.
They're like most journeys. Some good, some bad, but mostly long.
So tell me, as a man who doesn't do much journeying myself anymore, what is it that would inspire men such as yourself to undertake such a long trip?
Well, as I'm sure you know, word has been spreading about the birth of a Messiah. We witnessed his star, and so we have come to worship him.
Is that right? A new Messiah. I must admit, I feel a little silly. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
It's said to be in a place called Bethlehem. Do you know where we could find this place?
Lucky for you, Bethlehem is only about 10 miles away.
10 miles? Ah. That's such a relief. After so many miles, 10 seems just around the corner.
Isn't that the truth? I know you're eager to resume your journey and witness this new Messiah firsthand, but please, before you go, allow me to be a good host and offer you a drink.
To the Messiah.
To the new king. Would you do me a favor?
Of course.
Once you have found this new king, would you come back and tell me exactly where he is so that I might have the opportunity to go and worship him myself?
Consider it done, King Herod.
Safe travels.
There are actually three groups of people that we're going to talk about today. One is Herod, the other is the wise men, and also the scribes and the Pharisees, because they all show us something. When we talk about preparation or the Bethlehem star or preparation, we're talking about two different things. Number one, we're talking about the Messiah's path having been prepared by God. And what we need to understand and what we need to see about this, that the Lord is doing this not just for the Messiah, he's doing this for us. Let's get a little bit more personal. He is doing this for you and for me. And there's a lot of supernatural things that happened around the announcement of the Messiah. We see Gabriel coming twice, once to Zechariah, and the second time he comes to Mary. There are several dreams that take place. There's provision that has been made. And there's even a place for the Messiah to go and be protected. First of all, we see that through dreams of instruction that leads to his protection. First of all, we see, as we saw, as we read in the scripture, that the Magi were warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, because they did not know the plot that he had to kill the Messiah. Then we also see that Joseph was warned before the destruction of the children. Herod orders all of the children from 2 years, all the male children from 2 years younger or older and younger to be murdered. And God warned Joseph in a dream so that he took the Messiah, and then he led him into Egypt where he was protected. Not only that, do we see a provision, and I've never thought of this before. There was a provision made for Joseph and Mary and Jesus. One of the gifts that the Magi brought was gold. Reckon that gold sustained them while they were in Egypt. Joseph was a carpenter. He goes into a foreign country with his young baby to hide and be protected for some time until Herod dies. And that gold sustained them during that time. So we see God preparing the way for the Messiah. And he was doing that. And this is how we need to see it. He was doing that for us. He was doing that supernaturally for our benefit. Isn't that good? Supernaturally for our benefit. The second thing that we need to see is that God, not only did he make preparation for the Messiah, that we as his people need to make preparation for the Messiah in our life. And I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm talking to believers and unbelievers. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, I've invited Jesus into my heart and I'm saved and all of that. But listen, we have to make preparation for the Messiah every day in our lives. The Christian life is an ongoing growth process that we have with Jesus Christ. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing daily thing that we need in our lives. Now, I want to talk about the three groups of people. I want to talk about Herod first. In this video, we see that Herod was not a good person. He was the son of Antipater of Idumea. He was half Jewish, and he was half Edomite. But he was raised as a Jew. He was appointed king of the Jews by the Roman Senate in 40 B.C. before Christ. 40 B.C. before Christ. But he wasn't really qualified scripturally to be king of the Jews. In fact, that's what he is called, king of the Jews. Who else do we know who is going to be called king of the Jews? Jesus, the Messiah. So you can see that when Herod starts hearing about this new king, he is challenged in his own heart. In fact, we're going to see some things about Herod that are just not really good. He wasn't a good guy at all. Even though he was raised Jewish, he was very opportunistic. He sided with whoever was in power. He was one of these that gauge things by how the political winds was growing. And he came into a place of favor with Rome, and they actually appointed him as king of the Jews, and something that he wasn't scripturally qualified to be. He was one of the, here's a good thing about him. He was one of the greatest builders in Hebrew history. One of the things that he did is he expanded the second temple in Jerusalem. He also built the town of Caesarea Maritima. We got to go there when we were in Israel. And one of the first places that we went was Caesarea Maritima. And They had a great aqueduct system there where that they transported the water into the town. And he was the builder of these great things. And then he also has anybody ever heard of Masada? Masada? Masada is a city that's built on a mountaintop. In fact, it was a fortress, it was a refuge. And see, Herod was a very paranoid person. He always thought somebody was out to get his throne. And so he built this place on top of this mountain. We got to go there too. In fact, it's way up there. We had to take one of these trolley cars up the side of this mountain. And there's a great history in Israel around Masada. So he built that as a place of refuge. Also, he built a town called Herodium. And it was full of forts and palaces. So he was a great builder. He was very, very political. But he was also deranged. He was a madman, a murderer. He was very paranoid. In fact, he had several wives and he killed his favorite wife. Wouldn't you like to be the favorite wife? Merami was her name. And he killed her because he thought that she was trying to usurp his kingdom. And he also killed several of his sons for the same reason. He's a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, he is a terrible, terrible person. He had many rabbis executed. If he thought anybody was about to challenge his throne, he had them killed. So it gives us a little insight into when these wise men come and they bring this, they talk about this new Messiah, this new king. That's the reason that he goes into this rage. And when he finds out that the Magi have not been truthful with him, that they didn't come back, he flew into this rage and he orders all of these children from Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, to be murdered. That is Mr. Herod. Now his son, he's called Herod the Great. His son will be, who takes his place when he dies, is Herod Antipas. And he is the one that deals with Jesus during the time of the crucifixion. But this is Herod the Great. Now, Herod dies a very horrible death. He has kidney problems. He has gangrene in his body. And he just dies this horrible, horrible death. He kind of reaped what he sowed, don't you think? So this was Herod. And he was called King of the Jews. And he is, who is the other King of the Jews? Jesus. Let's do a comparison of the two kings of the Jews. Herod was selfish and self-indulgent. Jesus was self-denying and self-sacrificing. Herod was yielding to Satan. Jesus was vanquishing Satan. See, we're going to see who the true king of the Jews is, and it's not Herod. Herod was destroying people. Jesus was the savior of people. Herod was cruel to little children. Jesus was especially kind to children. So we see a contrast of the false king of the Jews and the true king of the Jews. Also, there was the Magi that we need to talk about. The Magi. Now, I hate to pop bubbles, but let's pop a couple of bubbles. Number one, they were probably not kings. We three kings of Orient are tried to smoke. Oh, no, that's not it. Bearing gifts. No, they were not kings. They were astrologers, astronomers. They were very wise people. And they probably came from, it says they came from the east, Babylonia or Persia. Now, 600 to 700 years before, there's another Jew that is in Persia, and he interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. His name is, does anybody know? Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar puts Daniel in charge in that area. In fact, He was a great dreamer. He was interpreter of dreams. He was very wise. And he influenced. In fact, he did not go back. He stayed there. And very likely, Bible scholars agree that he was the influencer of the wise men. Several generations removed, I know, but he taught the Hebrew scripture. They understood. He taught those wise men of that day all about the messianic prophecies and the star and all of those things. So they studied those things. So they studied the scripture. They studied the sky. They studied the scripture. They studied the sky. They did that for generations. So when the Magi came, they understood Jewish scripture. They understood about the Messiah. They had prepared themselves to worship the Messiah. Now, what did Herod do? He was troubled. So what did he do? He prepared to stop the Messiah. The third group of people that we want to talk about today are the people of Israel, especially the scribes and the Pharisees. Did they understand the Hebrew scriptures? Yes. Did they understand about the Messiah? Yes. They too had studied all of these scriptures throughout the years. And when they heard these things, you know what they were? They were indifferent. So there's three kinds of people here that we see in this story, this preparation story. We see those who are troubled, Herod. We see the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, when they hear about the Messiah, they are indifferent. Then we see these Gentile wise men, when they hear about him, you know what? They're ready to worship him. So when we talk about preparation, we need to look at our hearts. We need to look at our attitude towards the Messiah. You know, we come into this Christmas season, and it's very easy to get caught up in the world side of Christmas, you know, and I'm not against all of that. I've said it before, I enjoy the Christmas season. I enjoy the festivity. I enjoy the tradition. But listen, we can get so caught up in that we forget what it's all about. We went to see the lights last night. I only saw one nativity scene and all of that lights. The rest of it was Santa Clauses and reindeers and different things like that. And I'm thinking, have we forgot what this is all about? What this is really all about? I enjoyed the lights. You know, we had a great time. But I noticed that there was only one nativity scene in the whole deal. It probably should be the other way around as we get ready. So, but, you know, let's enjoy the festivity, but let's not forget what it's all about. Let's prepare our hearts to receive the Messiah. The Bible talks about being prepared. And that's the whole theme of today. God prepared a way for the Messiah. He did that for us. We should not be like Herod, troubled about these things. We should not be about the children of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees. We should not be indifferent. And we see a lot of that. It was the religious people who were indifferent. We shouldn't be that way as religious people. And we are religious people in a good sense. But let's not be indifferent. Let's be prepared to receive him and to worship him. Not just at Christmas time, all the time. Amen? All right, let's look at some verses. These are preparation verses. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Sow with a view of righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rain righteousness on you." That says break up the fallow ground. In other words, it's very easy living in the world for our hearts to become hardened. Not cruel or mean, just indifferent, hard about where the things of God is concerned. Let me ask you a question. When you wake up in the morning, how long does it take you to even acknowledge the Lord? As you go about your day, how often do you think of Him? How often do you talk to Him in your day? As you lay on your bed at night, how often do you meditate on Him? I'm ashamed to say, there are days that it's I'm in midday before I even acknowledge God. And I'm thinking, oh my. That doesn't sound like a prepared heart. That does not sound like somebody that has broken up the ground of their heart. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. We need to be in communication with Him all the time. So this says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness on us. Now this is not a word to unbelievers. This was a word to the children of Israel. This is a word to us today. Don't let your hearts get hard. Keep your ground soft towards the things of God. Seek Him. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Does that describe, let me just ask the question, does that describe me? Ask yourself that question. Does that describe me? Have I got on the garments of readiness? Do you ever think about the Lord coming back? I mean, we live in this world. We've got a mission, yes, we need to be, but do you ever long for Him to come back? Do you ever think about what the next life is going to be about? Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is ready, the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer us than when we first believed. See, the Bible is telling us that we need to prepare our hearts for Jesus. To prepare our hearts for Jesus. Colossians chapter 4. I got two more verses, then we're going to close. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keep what? Alert. Watching. Waiting. Anticipating. You know, that I've been a believer for a long time. I have. And that's challenging sometimes because it's so easy that we allow things to become common to us when they should never become common. How many times have we gone to the Lord's table like we came today, not fully appreciating what this is about? We just go through the motions. We eat the cracker, we drink the wine. We eat the cracker, we drink the wine. We throw up a token prayer. That's not what God has in mind. We don't need to be people of indifference like the religious people of that day. We need to be like the wise men who are looking. They're looking to the sky. He looked to the sky. He saw the star. He looked to the Word. He saw Messiah. He put them together. They saw the star. They followed the star. They followed the Bethlehem star, and they came to where He was, bringing their gifts, but also worshiping Him. Now, here's another bubble I need to pop. They didn't show up on the night of the birth. It was sometime later. They were still in Bethlehem. They had not yet gone back to Nazareth. They were still in Bethlehem. But it says that they came to the house. Where was He born? in a stable. But the wise men came to the house. Last verse. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believe in his name. See, many times we use that to try to win people to Christ. It's a good verse for that. But it's also a good verse for us as believers today. We have received him. We are receiving him. See, we have to make. See, we're still people of will. God has given us free will. And we still have to make decisions daily to receive him. See, there's times that we push him away. There's times that we don't listen to him. There's times that we become drowsy or sleepy when we're supposed to be watching and alert and hearing and following. It says that if we will receive him, he will give us the ability to become children of God. Now, we know that we become children of God when we're born again. But you know what? We don't act like children of God. But you know what? The more that we receive him into our lives, the more that we give place to his leading and guiding, the more we become like him. That's what God's coming back for. That's what Jesus is coming back for. A church that looks like him. A church that loves. A church that gives. A church that is not prejudiced. A church that loves like he did. And that's what we need to become. That's what we need to strive for, is receiving him and becoming the sons of God, the daughters of God. Not only in name, but also in deed. When people look at the church, they need to see Jesus. You know why? Because he's the head. We're the body. The head and the body should match. And if we will receive him, if we'll keep our hearts open to him, if we will be watchful, we will become the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hope is in him. Our life is in him. We anticipate his coming. But listen, he has prepared us to be a glorious church. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you prepared a way in this world for the Messiah. Supernaturally, you prepared a way for him to come into this earth. You didn't do it because you had a need. You did it because I had a need. We had a need. Lord, today, we prepare our hearts to receive you afresh and anew. Can we stand together? We're going to worship here. We stand here to receive you, Lord. Maybe some for the first time, but Lord, all of us for this time. Do a work in our hearts. Do a work in us today. Lord, as we stir our hearts up to receive you, as we prepare our hearts to receive you, do a miraculous work in our lives today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to lift your voices in worship. I want you to minister to the Lord today. Would you do that?